take some of those and start driving.
This meeting of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee will come to order. We have an almost quorum, meaning that as soon as we start, somebody will come in and we'll have our quorum. We're going to start with the LCCMR appointees, Della Young and William Faber. If you want to both come up together, it's fine. And welcome to the committee. If you want to each do a very brief presentation or introduction or whatever, we welcome that.
All right. Excuse me. I'm William E. Faber. My friends call me Dr. Bill. My opponents call me Dr. Faber. I'm back here. Sorry, I was trying to lighten the mood a little. So, yeah, first of all, I started out and say I have a bow tie on in honor of Senator Marty. The last time I was here, he made a comment that I had a sleeveless vest on, but I only have one. It isn't got a zipper, so this is a different one, okay? And so if you look, then you're all underdressed compared to me. Yeah, my background. I run the Natural Resources Program at Central Lakes College in Brainerd. I'm trained as a wildlife biologist. I've been working in this business. Nice you could make it, Vice Chair Hoffman.
I love the doc.
My reputation precedes me. Yeah, I've been in the wildlife business for about 30 years. I did my studies, since most of you can't see, these are moose on my bow tie. They are Swedish moose, because that's where I did the majority of my graduate work. I was in Sweden for about 12 years. I've hunted and fished since I was a young boy, and now, you know, conservation is my middle name, and this would be renewal of a 4-year term. I'm the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, and I'm sure Susan Thornton over here is cringing because they know I have the gift of gab, but I'm sure Senator Hoffman could confirm that I'm considered the LCCMR jester. So with that being said, I look forward to any questions you might have and hopefully to me being appointed. I should mention the last time I was confirmed, I'm sure Senator Marty and some of the others that were here, I was here at the very tail end of the sand fracking, the frack sand mining debate. And I was wondering where all the TVs and the people were today, because this is my extra minutes in the limelight and none of it is here. Okay, but nobody can get up and leave because there really isn't anyone here. So, all right, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Ms. Young, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Make sure I get this just right. Senator Marty, Senator Hoffman, Senator Osmek, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. As requested, I'd like to take a few minutes to introduce myself and to share why I'm interested in and qualified to serve on the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. Again, my name is Della Shaw Young. I live in Brooklyn Park in Senate District 36. I have spent the last 18 years working in various capacities in both the public and private sectors. I began my career as a hydrologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources under LINC, and then the Minnesota Department of Transportation before moving to the consulting industry 15 years ago. At present, I'm a regional environmental studies and permitting manager for Burns and McDonald, an engineering, architecture, construction, and environmental consulting firm. In my role, I'm responsible for setting the strategic direction of the Environmental Studies and Permitting Program and providing consulting services to public and private clients in Minnesota and within states or surrounding states. I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in Natural Resources and Environmental Studies and a Master of Science degree in Water Resources Science from the University of Minnesota. I currently maintain roles as the chair of the American Council of Engineering Companies of Minnesota, a board member of ACEC as well, and a board member of the Friends of Mississippi River, and the leader of Girl Scout Troop 15981. I approach this role on the commission with a clear understanding of its function, which is to make funding recommendations for activities that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other resources for the benefit of current citizens and future generations through the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund. Impaired lakes, rivers, and streams, depleting aquifers, and questions about whether the ways in which we're using groundwater is sustainable, the spread of invasive species such as zebra mussels, Eurasian milfoil, emerald ash borer, are a few resource challenges Minnesota faces today. We, as a state, have made significant progress, but more work needs to be done through the work of LCCMR, state and local agencies, and private partnerships. My work, partnering with public and private clients on projects designed to study resource issues, emerging problems, manage water quantity and quality, and set standards, and assist with the development of infrastructure enhancements, all with Minnesota's precious resources in mind, has provided me the opportunity and experience to better appreciate and navigate the complexities of managing our resources, improving our infrastructure, and developing strategies and around collaboration and partnerships. Facilitating STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education projects, biking and hiking trips along the Mississippi River with my Girl Scout and her troop every day brings into focus every day the purpose of this commission and others like it. My credentials qualify me to serve our great state on this commission. Senators, I'm eager to offer my time, skills, and talent to LCCMR for reviewing and recommending projects that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's resources. I enjoy recreating in our state parks and on our lakes, rivers, and streams. And in recent years, I've had the pleasure of sharing those with my family and friends. And I look forward to and want to help to protect this for future generations. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you. I'm happy to respond to questions at this time.
Are there any questions from members of the committee? Senator Hoffman looks like he's ready
goodness.
To. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chair and members, it is truly a joy to serve with these two on the LCCMR. I have never, the amount of knowledge that the citizens bring, and especially the expertise they bring, is I think I've learned more in 2 years sitting on that than I have in my entire life. I know more about Swedish moose, bats in the parts of Little Falls, water hydrology. It is just it's a treat, and I'm proud that you guys are part of this experience of getting what's right for Minnesota resources, and so. I guess my comments are just, it's a treasure to have people like this that come forward and volunteer to be part of the LCCMR, and we do have fun with the Dr. Moose there, so it is good. I want to take a class up in Brainerd, actually, excitement, so, but I would move to have these people placed on, if that's what you're looking
Senator
for.
Senator Hoffman's making a motion. Is there any other discussion first? Any other questions?
What's the difference between a Swedish moose and a Norwegian moose?
No.
Come on, I need 4 to 5 minutes.
Mr. Chair, let's
30 seconds he's got.
We have a motion before us.
The only difference is one speaks Norwegian and the other speaks Swedish. Not exactly the same language.
But they're both like lutefisk.
That's funny.
Senator Hoffman moves that Della Young of Brooklyn Park and William Faber of Brainerd, Minnesota, be recommended to the full Senate for confirmation to the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. Is there any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. One tough question. Nice short answer.
Thank you.
Ernest Morgan for the MPCA. Welcome to the committee. And please feel free to go ahead and make a brief introduction.
That's a tough act to follow here. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's an honor and a privilege to be here today to have the opportunity to explain my qualifications and also my interest in serving on the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board. I'm originally a native of Texas, but got to Minnesota as fast as I could back in 2007, right? I attended public schools in Abilene, Texas, a small town of about 100,000 people, with a formal education at the University of Texas in Austin on a National Merit Scholarship. I grew up in a working-class family. My mom is a nurse educator. My father was a railroad employee. And when I think about my professional experience, I spent 15 years at Honeywell, which is actually what got me to Minnesota. Started at Honeywell in Texas, was relocated several times, and then ultimately ended up in a corporate role here in Minneapolis, or across the river in Minneapolis. After 15 years of increasing responsibility at Honeywell, decided that it was time for my next opportunity and became a consultant, a sales consultant for the BlackBerry Corporation, which I'm sure all of you have had a BlackBerry at some point in your life, right? But a consultant for them. I see a head that's going the wrong way. spent a couple of years there really understanding sort of where technology was going from a software perspective on machine-to-machine communication. Left BlackBerry after 2 years and went to work for Emerson, which is a direct competitor of Honeywell. And I've been at Emerson now for about 6 months. I manage our business development group for our residential new construction products, so things that would be installed in a home, a single-family home or multifamily home during construction, such as a thermostat or things behind the wall that most people don't actually know that they have, right? Okay, so specifically, being in business development causes me to, frankly, be a consultant, making sure that I'm bridging the gap between internal strategy and what other businesses or customers actually want. So those of you that are have strong ties to the business community or enterprise, this may make sense to you, but I'm a multi-year President's Club winner and a trusted advisor for industry associations, specifically dealing with relationship management as well as creating a diverse workforce. I've been actively engaged with the Minnesota business community since I arrived here back in 2007, including strong ties to the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Minneapolis Chamber, and the Minnesota Chamber. In fact, the reason that I'm sitting in front of you today is a direct result of a recommendation from the president of the St. Paul Area Chamber. I've also been fortunate to be included in the Inner City Leadership Visit, which is, for those of you that may know a little bit about that particular organization, but it's a delegation of civic and enterprise leaders in Minnesota that travel outside of the state to other cities to understand best practices and bring back those best practices and ideas to Minnesota to make this a better place to live and work. I've been really excited to be a part of that organization. I live in downtown Minneapolis. I've lived there since the day I moved here. Live in a old converted warehouse that's near the Mill District, and that's in Senator Bobby Champion's district. I'm also very active on the Downtown Minneapolis Neighborhood Association, which is really the only association that the city recognizes. And as you might understand, with all the activity going on in downtown Minneapolis right now, it causes for a lot of very late board meetings in that area. I've served on many nonprofit boards through the years. Most of them have been health-related or equality-related, and I'm very eager to serve again. I certainly want to thank the governor for the recommendation and the and the confidence that I could actually serve on this board. I'm really thrilled about that, and certainly excited about my family allowing me to actually take another board role. It does certainly take away from some family planning. So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, today I respectfully ask for your support and your confirmation to the Minnesota Pollution and Control Agency. With that, I would love to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Questions from the committee? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morgan, thank you very much. It sounds like you have done due diligence to your role in the PCA. But you made a comment about your travels outside of the state with that organization to learn best practices. I was wondering about your travels within the state. The PCA or the Citizens Board has there's been some controversy with the agricultural community and some of the rulings. So I'm wondering if there has been an effort to do some relationship building, some travels around the state to see various ag industries that you are obviously making decisions for.
Yep, I certainly understand and respect that question. The since 2007, with me living here in the state, being from the South, one of the things that I've really enjoyed is being able to get out and understand and meet people and understand things outside of the Twin Cities. I've done a really good job of that. In fact, almost all of our vacations have been outside of the Twin Cities, but in the state of Minnesota. And then specifically, I am very close to. There's several farmers in my family, and when they have been here visiting, there's been reasons for. One works for John Deere, frankly, as a result of that, every time he is in town, that's my brother. Every time he is in town, we are visiting somewhere in the country. In the state related to John Deere business, frankly. But I've gone along with him and certainly understand what things could potentially. Come up and be in front of this particular board.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Morgan. I also, and perhaps this is a question for the commissioner, but I would think it would be a logical opportunity to have some trips out to see various industries throughout the state, from the north to the south that are ag-related, and I'm hoping that you will take this back to the board as a friendly suggestion to perhaps plan some meetings outside of the normal just downtown St. Paul.
Sure.
Do something that is an outreach to the ag communities, whether it is timber or it's mining or it's crop production or animal production or it's any type of the energy production. They're all ag-related, and they're all very important to the state. So that would just be something that I hope that the board is talking about and that I will certainly ask the commissioner for that recommendation to go forward also and to help bridge this gap that
sure.
we have.
There are further questions. Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morgan, obviously your resume is very, very heavily weighted towards technology. No, I don't have a BlackBerry. I probably could be the only person in the room who doesn't have a BlackBerry. It's never had a BlackBerry, but it's very, very, very heavily weighted towards that type of commercial application. Could you provide me more information on how that experience package translates into pollution control agency issues?
I don't know that I would draw a direct parallel to those two. What I bring, the value that I bring to the organization has more to do around process and about relationship management.
Senator Osmond.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Morgan. So that brings forth interesting ideas. If you are more process-oriented, is that saying that you would be more of a slave to a particular process as opposed to making selective choices along the process and not following a process? I'm trying to figure out how, you know, we have many processes in my industry, which is healthcare technology, and we have many different hoops we have to jump through. I guess I'd like more information on how you would use or provide me examples of how you are very versed in processes and how that translates.
Mr. Morgan.
Sure, thank you. I'll start with a statement of my history. I have a strong background in Six Sigma. For those of you that are familiar with that, I'm certified in several different Six Sigma processes, if you will, and that's just a tool. It's a tool set, when we think about technology, and yes, my background has been in technology. I have a very strong background in technology, as you mentioned. The technology changes very quickly, and even though you have a process, a process is really a framework or a guideline. But so I really have to treat it that way. I'm not sure that I'm answering the question the way that you need, but process is a guideline, and I've always been taught, at least in my experience in my career, the process is a guideline. It is a tool that should be used when you can. However, a process doesn't always work in every scenario. I'm not sure that I'm able to draw that parallel between what you're asking and my role here at the board.
Close enough.
Further discussion. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, at the appropriate time, I'm happy to move Mr. Ernest's confirmation.
Senator Sieben.
I'm sorry, Mr. Morgan.
Senator Sieben moves the confirmation of Ernest Morgan to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board. Is there further questions or discussion? If not on that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And like the other two who were just confirmed recently, I want to wish you well and thank you for your volunteer service to the state.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you all. Commissioner John Linkstein. Mr. Faber said that he didn't have any TV cameras for his second confirmation. It seems you're even losing half the audience. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess it's good to be uninteresting sometimes. I'm not sure how I should take that, but that's just fine for today. And thank you for this opportunity to appear before the committee. And I wanted to just briefly introduce myself, and I know I've had the good fortune to meet with many of you in your offices, and I appreciate those conversations and the candor that that I try to bring to everything that I do in my work. I will hopefully be as candid today in these conversations. My name is John Linkstein, and as you heard Della say earlier, some folks know me as Link. It happens that my mother liked to call me Link. But she didn't like it as my first name. So I grew up in Roseville, Minnesota. I went to grade school, high school there, and then all my family, all my friends, everybody calls me Link that I grew up with until I turned 18 and I went to the University of Minnesota, which is not friendly to middle names. In fact, there wasn't even a way to have a middle name on your registration card at the university in 1976 when I enrolled. And so I switched at that time to become John. And as I like to say, you can call me John or you can call me Link, but just please don't ever call me late for supper. Mr. Faber started this. I'll blame him. Okay. I am currently as the commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of a brief background on myself. I'm married to Deb. She's my high school sweetheart. We met when we were 15 years old. That was 37 years ago. Well, when we met was longer than that. That would have been 41 years ago now, I guess, if I'm 43 years ago. Sorry about that, Deb, if you hear this tape. My mistake. I went to the University of Minnesota College of Agriculture following high school, and I received a Bachelor of Science degree in Soil and Water Resource Management. I started working as a student worker for the Department of Natural Resources in 1978, and I have been in the employment at state service since then, and that is 37 years. I did that math. I have two adult sons, both of whom live in Minneapolis and are delightful part of our life. I worked at the DNR starting as a hydrologist in 1980, and I worked in all the levels of hydrologist classification that the state has. I worked on a number of interesting programs, all revolving around water permitting, water regulation, and land use. So shoreland zoning, floodplain zoning, wild and scenic river zoning, all the water appropriation work that DNR does and the public waters work permitting, including a response to the 1997 flood, which we distributed over $100 million in flood damage reduction grant funds to communities across Minnesota for recovery from that disastrous flood. In 2005, I moved to the Minnesota Department of Health. And while at the Minnesota Department of Health, I worked in environmental health, which is has a number of regulatory programs related to drinking water, food, beverage, and lodging. And a couple of things I worked on while I was there. Just some of these are great memories, and some of them are chilling memories. We revised our swimming pool regulations after a very tragic accident that occurred in at the Edina Country Club, in which a little girl was unfortunately died as a result of her injuries from a drain that malfunctioned, and she was eviscerated in that accident. And we updated the swimming pool regulations following that incident, and those regulations have now been standardized across the state of Minnesota. We also worked on contamination of drinking water sources in the East Metropolitan area, resulting from legacy chemicals that were deposited on the surface of the ground, perfluorinated compounds that made it into the drinking water supplies across southern Ramsey County and Washington County. I also was able to work as using my experience in incident command and emergency response dealing with the H1N1 influenza outbreak that began in 2009, and I was the state's incident commander for all the response efforts on that, including our public health laboratory work and our infectious diseases. In 2011, I came to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency as a deputy commissioner. In the time that I was the deputy, I focused on continuous improvement activities of the agency, our strategic planning efforts, and creating an agency dashboard to indicate the status of significant work that the agency engages in. And in 2012, Governor Dayton recommended me to be commissioner of the agency, and I was confirmed that year by the Senate. And I wanted to just highlight some of the significant areas that the agency works in. Water quality. We are the agency that improves and maintains and hopes to restore water quality around the state where it's been impaired. We work to protect and improve air quality for the benefit of our population. As you all know, air pollutants can cause significant health issues for our population, and so having a high-quality air environment is important. We restore lands and return them to beneficial uses. Things that have contaminated our landscape from legacy chemicals and disposal and landfilling activities are important to us, and we work proactively on solid waste and recycling efforts. We have a goal to be strongly focused on improving our operations, and I'm currently in my role as commissioner representing Minnesota on the Great Lakes Commission. I also represent Minnesota on the Great Lakes Executive Committee, the water quality agreement that is administered between the government of Canada and the U.S. government. And I also serve on the Red River Basin Commission. I have with me today several of my team seated behind me, and they're without the support of a very effective group of staff in the agency, along with my Deputy Commissioner Michelle Beeman, Assistant Commissioner Rebecca Flood, Assistant Commissioner David Thornton, and Assistant Commissioner Kirk Kadelka, form the Commissioner's Office of the agency, as well as Greta Gauthier, who is our legislative liaison.
I wanted to thank Governor Dayton for his confidence and his continuing support in my role as commissioner. And I want to just again thank my wonderful wife, Deb, for her her love, her understanding, and her prayerful support. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd stand for questions.
Questions for the commissioner.
Mr.
Chair. Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, thank you, Commissioner. I did, perhaps you were not listening to my question to Mr. Morgan, but it is about the Citizens Board and some of the rulings and decisions that have been made recently. I was wondering if you could just give us a brief summary and thoughts on your plans going forward and what has the conversations that have happened since the ruling back in the fall and some of the things.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rosen, I think you asked Mr. Morgan about could the board take its decision-making functions more out into greater Minnesota and be present for some of those decision processes, and we certainly can. The board, for those of you who are unfamiliar with our Citizens Board, the law creates the Citizens Board as the agency itself. So the board and the agency are one in the same. That's important in that certain of the decisions that the agency makes come before the board for a decision. And so as such, and it really is only about 10 to 12 decisions a year on average. The vast majority of the decisions of the agency are delegated and made by the commissioner or delegated by me to a staff to make decisions. When the board meets, they are public meetings and they are governed by open meeting law. And so there is always some trickiness to scheduling meetings out in state, but we are very open to that idea and would be receptive to having decisions heard in the communities that are most directly affected. In fact, we've had a number of discussions over the future of specific mining permit decisions that might come before the board. And I expect that some of those decisions may take more than one board meeting in order for it to be fully heard and decided. And that is something certainly I'm very committed to doing, is having those communities have greater access to the board when decisions are made. So when that comes before the board, Senator Rosen and Mr. Chair, I will take that in under consideration. It depends on the level of interest, and some decisions garner much more public interest than others, and so we'll try to make that judgment to make efficient use of our time and our resources.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the second half of the question, Commissioner, is what has occurred as far as communication between the board and the ag community, or between the department, and I thought perhaps there was some proactive movement.
Certainly.
By your office.
Thank you.
In that manner.
I apologize, Senator Rosen. I should also comment that we have had an active level of outreach. I think there was a decision that came before the board last fall that caused concern among the dairy industry in Minnesota. And since that time, I have personally met with the owners and operators of that facility, and I've met with the Minnesota Milk Producers Organization. I attended a dairy summit that occurred in December at the University of Minnesota, and I have just recently, in fact, was yesterday out in Renville to meet with Senator Coonan and some other local ag business interests over air quality issue that has agricultural-related interests involved. So my job as commissioner is to make sure that the board has an adequate record on which to make its decision, and often that means that our staff are directly involved in communications with the industries or the business interests that need permits or approvals from the agency. So I have actively reached out to the ag sector, the dairy sector, and we had a good meeting. As I said, the summit meeting I attended in December, I was able to spend most of the day there for that event. We had a good meeting with the Minnesota Milk Producers in our office, and I've offered to meet with other representatives of the industry going forward, and I Mr. McBeth is here, I know, but he represents the Minnesota milk producers, and I offered to have our staff or myself and our board members meet with the milk producers to try to gain some greater insight into their future plans and needs that our agency might be able to address.
Senator Eaton and then Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, I was wondering how you plan to address the issue of the sulfate in the waters for wild rice in light that they're contrary to the federal EPA levels recommended?
Mr. Chair and Senator Eaton, one of the things that Minnesota is actually the only state in the country that has adopted any kind of a provision in any of our permits related to protecting the uses of our waters for wild rice. So there isn't a federal standard in so many words that exists. What you may be recalling is that the state had previously applied 10 milligrams per liter as a standard in three permits. That was subject to a lot of discussion and debate on the scientific basis for that determination. And that was relying on science observations made by Dr. John Moyle at the University of Minnesota in about 1940. And what Dr. Moyle did at that time was look at the presence of wild rice in waters in Minnesota and correlate observations on water quality and the presence of sulfate in those waters that wild rice was observed in it. And what, in a simple form, his analysis did was chart out if there's a point at which on the concentration level that wild rice was more or less prevalent in waters of the state of Minnesota. And that's where that 10 was developed from those observations. In 2011, the legislature passed laws and appropriated money to the agency to further investigate the relationships between the presence of wild rice and sulfate in water. That process concluded in the scientific investigation concluded in late 2013. The data analysis was done in the first half of 2014, and we had a peer review process of scientists that were convened by the agency under an independent contractor who then answered questions relative to the scientific data that was gathered during those 2 years of research on wild rice and sulfate. As a result of that peer review process, the agency analyzed the data repeatedly and took input from the peer reviewers and concluded that 10, while not necessarily a wrong number, was, as Assistant Commissioner Flood has said, an imprecise tool or number. We learned in the process of doing the research with a number of peer reviewers and scientists and others on an advisory committee that wild rice appears to be controlled, the presence of wild rice in Minnesota waters appears to be controlled by the presence of organic carbon in the sediment, the presence of iron in the sediment, and the amount of sulfate in the overlying water. And there is, sulfate itself is not toxic to wild rice. Sulfide in the sediment is what is the toxic substance. And what we learned by reviewing data from the research and from our observations around wild rice waters in the state that there's a specific level of sulfide present in sediment that inhibits the growth of the plant. Now, that is controlled and mitigated by these other factors. So what we did in our recent release is update our scientific approach and release the information that says that's an equation that appears to work in our test sites around the state that you can back calculate from knowing the amount of organic carbon in the sediment, the amount of iron in the sediment, the amount of sulfate in the overlying water, what the limit should be in an upstream discharge of sulfate. So that scientific process led us to this point. And I would say that going forward, our plan then is to develop a rule that could be equally applied to any facility that discharges upstream of a wild rice water. And in our recent release, we listed 1,300 Minnesota waters that we find as having significant stands historically of wild rice growing in them. So the difference between the old approach and the new approach is a different science, different basis of scientific understanding, but similar relationships were understood. So what we'll have going into our rulemaking process is a very good and healthy discussion with the scientific community and folks who are regulated about how it would be applied in individual permitting decisions.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you. I would like to know the involvement of the different tribes in this discussion.
Mr. Chair and Senator Eaton, the tribal governments have representatives on our advisory committee. So in particular, both the 1854 Treaty Authority and all the individual tribes from the northern part of the state have had representatives attending our advisory committees. Before we released our documents a little over a week ago, I met with the chairwoman of the Fond du Lac Nation to explain the approach and to update her. And so we've had a very active involvement with the tribal nations from Minnesota, and they will continue to be involved as we move forward with explaining the technical information. Before our rule is released, we'll have a technical supporting document that will be drafted and in some extent in components shared with our advisory committee so they can understand the approach that we're taking.
Thank you.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, you and I have had some very frank discussions on a number of things, and I thank you for those. I think you know very well and very clearly that I believe that as far as the PCA, MPCA Citizens Board, I believe that agriculture is woefully underrepresented, if actually represented at all. And I think that's a travesty in light of the size of the agricultural industry in this state. And I know that you do not make those appointments, Commissioner, but I do hope that you will take it upon yourself in your capacity to lobby for a better representation for the agricultural industry on this board, because I think without it, you're going to experience greater difficulties, at least from this senator, in the future, if that does not happen.
Ms. Chair and Senator Weber, yes, we had a very frank conversation about this, as I recall, and I appreciate your candor as well. And my while we might disagree on what the agricultural industry means, I can say we have representatives on our board who are from the agricultural community. Dr. Kathy Drager, who is from Traverse County, and her farm is about 300 acres, and they have a mixture of animal and cash crop agriculture on their farm. She also is a professor at the University of Minnesota and works in rural sustainable development. And then Mr. Jim Riddle, one of our board members from Winona County, is a farmer. He grows organically grown berries and fruits on his farm outside Winona. While that's not, I think, what you intend to mean by agricultural industry representatives, they are involved in the industry of agriculture maybe in a different way. And so I respect that, and we welcome, as you mentioned, the board appointments are made by the governor, and when appointments come open, we'll make sure that the governor is well informed about your concerns.
Thank you. Is there further questions or discussions? If not, Senator Huffman moves that Commissioner John Link Stein of Maplewood be recommended for reconfirmation to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency commissioner position. Is there a discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Congratulations and best wishes in your work. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
40 minutes.
10 minutes early. 40 minutes. Sure, it's